Independence Day, perhaps the most eagerly awaited summer movie, has finally arrived. The new film is the favorite old story about an invasion by creatures from outer space. Critic John Powers tells us if we're in for a scary good time.
In the trailer for the new science fiction film Independence Day, there's a spectacular shot of the White House being blown to smithereens by space invaders. Audiences invariably applaud, which has prompted several op-ed columnists to ponder what this is saying about Bill Clinton and public cynicism toward Washington. So before I go any further, let me straighten the pundits out. This applause is not a political statement. People clap and cheer because seeing the White House explode is cool. Science fiction offers many primitive pleasures, and one of the most thrilling is the chance to revel in imaginary destruction. Independence Day begins with enormous spaceships zipping down from the moon and hovering over the world's major cities like huge malignant frisbees. Soon, the Empire State Building has been flattened, the Capitol has joined the White House on the rubbish heap, and the palm trees of L.A. have gone up like so many matchsticks. Three cities wiped out in a matter of minutes. Luckily, there's still a group of Americans who, for various reasons, wind up in a top-secret bunker out west. There's the indecisive president, played by Bill Pullman. There's the drunken crop duster who believes he was once abducted by aliens. There's the cocky marine pilot, he's played by Will Smith, who has actually managed to kill one of the aliens. And then there's Jeff Goldblum. He plays a computer whiz who's still madly in love with his ex-wife, a top aide of the president. Together, this ragtag bunch tries to save the world while engaging in great bouts of overwrought dialogue.
Atlanta, Chicago, and Philadelphia. Destroyed.
We learned that NATO and Western Allied installations were the first to be taken out. Then we were hit. They knew exactly where and how to hit us.
And our forces?
We're down to 15%. If you calculate the time it takes to destroy a city and move on, we're looking at the worldwide destruction of every major city in the next 36 hours.
We're being exterminated.
Embracing clichés like long-lost children, the movie has a self-consciously 50s feel and is something of a nostalgic wallow for anyone, such as me, who grew up on paranoid sci-fi fare like When Worlds Collide or War of the Worlds. Of course, Independence Day cost $70 million, about 500 times more than the B-movies it's emulating. Not only are the destruction scenes amazingly vast, there's nearly an hour of digitalized special effects, but the cast is swarming with minor stars. This is the sort of picture where Robert Loggia is chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the computer whiz's dad is Judd Hirsch, and Will Smith's best buddy is, guess who? Harry Connick Jr. Unlike a 50s picture, the big heroes here are a black and a Jew. They get things done through courage and guile, even though their styles could hardly be more different. As the brash marine flyer, Smith is a straight-ahead action hero who talks trash to the aliens, as if he were a member of the Seattle Supersonics. In contrast, Goldblum's computer whiz is all neurotic obliqueness. He can barely concentrate on the impending destruction of the world because he's busy trying to reconcile with his ex. Independence Day is easily my favorite of the big summer movies, but I must admit that I kept wishing it were better. Director Roland Emmerich has a slightly leaden touch. The movie lumbers rather than glides, and the script is shallow even by 50s standards. 40 years ago, sci-fi movies were clunkily about something, usually the need for scientific responsibility in the wake of the bomb. Independence Day is about little more than kicking E.T.'s butt, to borrow a line from the movie. Still, I don't want to be too hard on a picture that gave me such old-fashioned pleasure. Independence Day may be a dumb, hokey throwback, but at least it's not nasty or cynical or gruesomely violent. Millions die, but off-screen. In a summer of amoral crowd-pleasers like Eraser and The Rock, this movie's corniness seems almost like integrity.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.